This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massey.
Happy post-Merry Christmas. Hey, yeah, exactly. David Massey with you until 8 o'clock tonight on Nissan Dodger Talk. Coming up at the bottom of the hour will be one of those young arms that the Dodgers relied upon a few times during the stretch of the 2016 season. Brock Stewart will check in at 7:30 tonight, so we'll talk to Brock, who's a great guy. I really got to know him and understand him somewhat. But he is a good guy and definitely was valuable to the Dodgers in 2016, a guy that started the 2016 season in single A because there was no room for him on the double A Tulsa roster. And he went up to double A, then triple A, and making his major league debut in Milwaukee at Miller Park. And from there, he kept getting better. And Brock Stewart definitely was one of those unsung young pitchers, along with Jose De Leon and Julio Urias, that really stepped up for the Dodgers when their rotation went down and was really on life support in a lot of different ways. So we'll talk to him at the bottom of the hour. One thing we do know is that Justin Turner's deal is official. The Dodgers announced that earlier or towards the end of last week. We expect the press conference for Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen to be after the new year next week sometime. And Kenley's deal is not official because the Dodgers' 40-man roster is full now that they did make Turner's deal official. So the Dodgers have to make a move with their 40-man roster, and maybe the Dodgers are working on a trade that may involve one or two or three of the guys on their 40-man roster right now, because Jose De Leon's name has been mentioned in rumors as far as trades to Minnesota for Brian Dozier. I think that's been established. I think what is holding this up is that the Dodgers don't want to give up certain prospects in addition to De Leon, and the Twins are going to have to decide whether or not this is the best deal that they're going to be able to get, or do they think they're going to be able to leverage more out of Dozier at the trade deadline? Now, keep in mind, last year, Brian Dozier's best part of the 2016 season that saw him hit 42 home runs came in the second half of the season, where he hit 30 of those 42 home runs. So he is a guy that maybe is a slow starter, and the Twins definitely would be gambling if they went into the season with Dozier. And let's say he gets off to a slow start. How is that going to play into his value? They certainly would not get as much as they would right now. And talking to guys that see Dozier play on an everyday basis, and I'm not talking about beat writers, I'm talking about actual American League managers, a lot of them told me that they think Logan Forsythe of the Tampa Bay Rays is a better player than Brian Dozier, but how can you sneeze at 42 home runs and 99 RBIs from a second baseman? Plus, he's right-handed, and we all know the trouble the Dodgers had against left-handed pitching last year. They were last in Major League Baseball in batting average, on base percentage, and slugging percentage against left-handed pitching. They brought back Justin Turner at third base, so that will help them from the right side. I know he had a down year against lefties, but I really believe that's an anomaly. Second base definitely was kind of a production problem for the Dodgers last year. Chase Utley was unbelievably clutch, but if you look at his numbers after May, they were in the low 220s as far as batting average. But when you needed a hit, just one hit that could decide the game, Chase Utley always seemed to do that. And I would like to see Chase come back as well to be on the Dodger bench and to play against certain right-handed hitters. And I think that's something that may or may not happen. And Ronnie Fazio giving me the thumbs up on that. Wants Utley back too. All right. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Also wanted to mention too, part of Justin Turner's contract will see him send 1% of his salary go to the L.A. Dodgers Foundation. And that goes back to what I said when he was a free agent and when the Dodgers had not signed him, and whether or not it was still in doubt I think that's part of the reason why Mark Walter, Andrew Friedman wanted Justin Turner back. Not only what he does on the field, but what he does in the community. And that's something that the owners of Guggenheim said when they took over. They said they don't only care about what players do on the field, but actually care about the character of person. And that really came up when they gave Kershaw that big extension, because they know how much work he puts in and that he's not going to just take the money and run, so to speak, or like some guys do, just get lazy and stop working because they got the big contract. And I think with the two contracts the Dodgers gave to Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen, you're going to see these two guys continue to work and not just rest on their laurels. And one thing I asked Dave Roberts about Kenley Jansen at the winter meetings, I said, how can you be sure that the motivation will go away with Kenley? And he said, with a closer, there's always motivation, because if you blow a save and you're not working hard and you walk back into that clubhouse after blowing that game or blowing several games, you have to be accountable to the other 24 guys in that clubhouse. And that's not an easy thing to do. And Kenley really does care about his teammates. So I don't think there's going to be a question of motivation or production because of a lack of work ethic from Kenley Jansen or Justin Turner. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls. Also, I want to get to what the Dodgers' shopping list should be. And it really depends on their bullpen. I'll let you know what names I think the Dodgers may shop for as we get into 2017. And at the bottom of the hour, Brock Stewart will join us right here on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Basset with you until 8 o'clock. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of George Michael. That always happens when great singers pass away. I really get into listening to their music. And I remember back in 1987 when I was a seventh grader at Our Lady of the Valley in Canoga Park, my very good-looking babysitter would pick me up on Friday afternoons after school, and she had that new cassette tape, Faith, from George Michael. And I would hear a lot of explicit lyrics as a young man. It really made me grow up a lot faster. And I thank her for it. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Brock Stewart will join us at 7:30. We are taking your phone calls on Nissan Dodger Talk at 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Also, we will have another edition of Nissan Dodger Talk this Thursday night, but it will be a best of edition before New Year's Eve on Saturday night. Also, more programming notes involving yours truly. I will be co-hosting LA Today on Thursday and Friday with Leanne Tweeden and Michael Harmon. And on one of those 2 days, I will let you know which Dodger wants to beat me up. I will let you know which Dodger wants to get into the squared circle with David Vassay. And we will unveil that on Thursday or Friday. And if you want to guess tonight, feel free. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. But one thing we can guess together on is the Dodgers shopping list as we get into 2017. And this is where I believe the interesting part of the offseason comes around, because a lot of bargain basement shopping is done in January, plus some splash from the big names still that are still out there, like Jose Bautista, Joey Bats, Mark Trumbo, our guy from Orange, California, is still available out there. I don't think the Dodgers are a fit for any one of those two guys, but it'll be interesting to see as a baseball fan where those two guys end up. But for the Dodgers, there are still some very good names to add to their bullpen in 2017. And yes, it was huge to get Kenley Jansen back in the fold to close games for the Dodgers, but it seemed like last year at the end of the year, the problem was how were they going to get the ball to Kenley Jansen, since a lot of the guys that they used and Dave Roberts really trusted were kind of run down towards the NLCS. And Joe Blanton in particular is the guy I'm thinking of. And Pedro Baez is a guy that I certainly don't trust in the postseason. So you got to get a couple of more reliable arms down in the bullpen. Now, a guy that I think would be a very good setup man, and that's a free agent right now, pitched for the San Francisco Giants last year. No, not Sergio Romo. I'm talking about Santiago Casilla. Yes, yes, I know that same Casilla that blew, what, 9-10 saves for the Giants and really cost them in a lot of ways the NL West Championship. I know, but he is still a guy that throws upwards of 95, 96, and it's a lot different getting the final three outs than it is getting the three outs to get to the final three outs. I'm talking about Casilla pitching in the eighth inning for the Dodgers, and I floated this out to a couple of fans and people in the, you know, that like baseball, and they say I'm crazy, but I have floated it out to a couple of Dodger relief pitchers, and they said, I would love to have Santiago Casilla setting up Kenley Jansen. And I think a new setting, a fresh start, and a different role would definitely benefit Santiago Casilla. Now, would he accept pitching in the eighth inning? That's a different question. I don't know that. I'm still trying to find that out. But he's still a free agent. It is January, and he doesn't have a very good reputation. Maybe he signs a one-year deal with the Dodgers, gets his reputation and his stock back up, and goes back onto the market next year and maybe gets closer-type money. But right now, I'm not sure he will. He could possibly get somewhere between $6 and $8 million, but how would you like to have Santiago Casilla setting up Kenley Jansen? Both guys throwing gas in different ways. Kenley with that cutter, and Casilla coming straight with that slider and fastball. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Also, a guy that's still out there but has an injury question mark around him is Greg Holland. He had that workout for teams before the winter meetings, and he's still out there as a free agent. But from what I understand, Scott Boras is driving a hard bargain. Shocker, right? He's doing his job, but he's still out there, and the Dodgers have been linked to Holland, so he could possibly be that guy. Another former Kansas City Royal, since everybody wants to emulate what they did the last couple of years with their bullpen, is Luke Hochever. Remember him? Yeah, the Dodgers drafted him, and he went back in, did not sign, went back into the draft. The Royals drafted him. He didn't work out as a starter, but certainly was a very good relief pitcher. And last year, he had 40 strikeouts to only 9 walks. You want a guy that throws strikes out of the bullpen, and only allowed 6 home runs. So there's a guy that I think could be interesting for the Dodgers that's still available on the free agent market. Maybe also to Drew Storen, who I was pounding the drum for last year, but he proved me wrong. His velocity went down. He wasn't a very effective pitcher for the Blue Jays. Eventually got traded to the Mariners, where his numbers were a little better, but he was pitching at Safeco Field, which, by the way, was pointed out to me at Sportsnet LA that that ballpark actually allowed the most home runs in baseball, which was shocking to me. But Drew Storen is another guy out there on the shopping list. Who do you think the Dodgers still need to acquire to help them get over that hump and maybe make them better than the Chicago Cubs? Are they better right now with Rich Hill, Justin Turner, and Kenley Jansen back? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And if you look at the Dodger rotation, I know people have questions about it and how are they going to deal with possibly Rich Hill only making 20 to 25 starts because he really hasn't shown that he can make more than those. Well, I think Julio Urias is a guy that definitely will step up in 2017 to maybe emerge as the number two behind Kershaw and maybe be that 2B or maybe 2A to Rich Hill because he seemed to grow as the season grew. And in the postseason, when he was making those starts, I actually had more confidence in him having the ball than Kenta Maeda. At times, Maeda seemed like he wanted no part of any of those games, especially in the NLCS. He seemed to settle down, especially in that game at Dodger Stadium, and limited the damage. But it just didn't seem like he was as comfortable as Julio Urias was in big game situations. And you look at where Urias made his first starts of his career in New York with that whole Chase Utley hubbub going on. Also, after that, going up against the best hitting team in the Chicago Cubs at the time. So this guy made big starts and seemed to get better as the season went along. I think when he started to really just establish his fastball, that was when his season really went to a different level. And that's something that Clayton Kershaw actually told me at Wrigley Field before his second start. I asked him, what do you see from Urias and what would you like him to do differently today? And he said, what I think he'll do more is establish his fastball and really go with his fastball more than his off-speed pitches. And when he did that, he seemed to be a more successful pitcher. So we'll see how it plays out. But I really believe Julio Urias is a guy the Dodgers will lean upon again in 2017 more than they originally think going into the season. Remember, they never even thought Julio would be pitching as early as he did last year. They were thinking August, maybe September, maybe a relief role, but he was thrust into a situation because of injuries. And I believe going into this season, he is looking at 150 innings, and I think that's the number. From just gathering around what he did last year and what the natural progression usually is, but I could see him going higher than that. How high? I don't think 190. I don't think 200 innings, but I could see 175 if the Dodgers needed it. And that's counting and including the postseason, because I'm looking at the Dodgers winning their fifth consecutive NL West championship. I have not seen the Giants do anything to make themselves better other than acquiring Mark Melanson. What have they done to improve that outfield offense? Angel Pagan was a butcher in left field with the glove. He was a good hitter, but from what I understand was maybe the outcast of that Giants team. He really was not what those guys are about baseball-wise. Yeah, he was a good hitter, but defensively, he cost the Giants a lot of runs. And the Giants really have not done much to replace him. There was rumors earlier in the offseason that they were looking at J.D. Martinez from the Tigers. That never materialized. So what have the Giants done that has made them better than the Dodgers? There's no way the Dodgers are a second-place team to the San Francisco Giants if you look at the talent right now as it stands, even without a second baseman. You look at the Dodger roster and you look at the Giant roster, I'd say there's more talent on the Dodger side of things, and usually that wins out over the course of a regular season. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue. For our AT&T subscribers, we're going to take another time out here on Nissan Dodger Talk. When we come back, your phone calls and also Dodger pitcher Brock Stewart will join us next on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk. David Basse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We will get to you, but we are joined by a very special guest calling in from his hometown of Normal, Illinois, a guy that made 5 starts in his rookie season for the Dodgers, a guy that threw 28 innings and was really important to the Dodgers with so many starting pitchers going down, and he joins us now. That's Brock Stewart. Brock,
how's it going?
I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice.
Good. Yeah, good to be on here with you guys.
I know. I miss seeing your beautiful blonde hair every day at the ballpark.
I miss seeing the swag that you wear every day.
You're the only guy that would say that. I'm sure your tongue is firmly pressed against your cheek. So are you in?
Oh, no.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I'm coming with a new style in 2017. What do you think about that? Infused.
Oh, wow. I'm just anxious to see it. That's all I can say.
I will let you know I had a beard going for a while, and I'm thinking about
you
bringing
know what?
It back.
I got a little, I got a little facial hair going myself right now.
Really?
You know, it's the first time I've ever tried it, so we'll see where it goes. But, you know, I don't think it's going to go much further than it already is. Just a little shadow, maybe.
When I text you to come on the show, it seemed like you're already pumped and raring to go for spring training. How anxious are you for your second season?
Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to big league camp. Didn't get the chance to go last year, so this year I'm looking forward to that, and definitely working hard right now to be ready for it. So yeah, it's just gonna be fun and exciting.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting because you pitched in the big leagues last year, but as we all know, you had a minor league season before you got up to the big leagues. How do you think you'll feel when you walk into that big league clubhouse in spring training for the first time, even though you were a vital part of kind of keeping that rotation afloat in regular season 2016?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's going to definitely help the confidence walking in there, and definitely going to allow me to be more comfortable to see those guys and see all the familiar faces and just get back into the groove with the team and everybody. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I know you're a young guy, but doing what you did last year, throwing what I assume would be the most innings and games you had ever thrown in your professional career, how has the off-season workout changed, if any?
You know, it really hasn't. It hasn't much. I think I gave my arm the proper rest, and we're starting to crank it back up with that. And just been staying on top of my weight training program, conditioning, and shoulder program, and all that good stuff. So really hasn't changed much. I'm just trying to focus on getting after it and getting ready.
When you look back at your season and what you did in those five starts and seven games overall pitching for the Dodgers, how would you evaluate how you did, and do you evaluate yourself after the season and try to make the improvements necessary?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part it went pretty well. I was happy with how it went, except for, you know, a few tough innings, really.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I always, you know, examine and, you know, ponder the, you know, go over the year and individual outings too. So there's always going to be stuff to improve on and stuff to work on. And, you know, it's good to think about it, and just looking forward to seeing if it pans out and, you know, keeping improving each day, really.
Dodger starter Brock Stewart is our guest. This is Nissan Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. And Brock, I know you were a quiet guy and doing what rookies do, and that's basically keeping your mouth shut and really observing what was going on. But did anybody really help you, maybe from something they told you or just by watching? Who do you think really had an impact on you at the big league level last year?
Sure. I tried to, you know, do my fair share of observing, you know, the veterans and how they went about their business, and that was a big teacher for me, for sure. And then really the other rookies, you know, like Stripling and Alex Wood, he's not a rookie, but, you know, other young pitchers, they really helped me out as well, just talking about things. And, you know, the more information that's out there, you know, you're going to pick up on certain things and run with them. So that's what I try to do, and try to be a sponge to, you know, sponge a little bit. So I mean, that's mainly how I've been learning and progressing. So all those guys have helped me a lot.
Brock, I knew you were in the process of developing secondary pitches when you made your debut in Milwaukee. How's that come along during the off season? Do you feel like you have a little bit more command for that and confidence to throw when you get to spring training?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've already been working on grips and, you know, throwing, make sure just playing catch with everything. And I thought it improved towards the end of the year after that Milwaukee start, and I think it will keep on improving. So, my command has never really been a huge issue. So that's what I like to do out there, is go out there and compete and throw strikes. So that's what I'm going
to
do.
When it comes to that, being a young pitcher in a big league game, obviously, is it all about just having confidence throwing those pitches other than a fastball? Is that really what it comes down to, other than the mechanics of it?
Absolutely. You gotta trust everything you got. You know, you got to trust your stuff and trust that it's going to be good enough to get these guys out. And, that's the biggest thing for me, is I go out there and I trust what I got. And it works out for the most part, so that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Brock Stewart is our guest. You could follow him on Twitter at @B_Rock_15. As you get more time into big leagues, you're going to have to get a better Twitter handle than that.
You know, you're darn right. As soon as you, those words came out of your mouth, I thought I was just about to say I needed to change that. But, I've had that for probably 5 or 6 years now, so.
Yeah, is that
one of those things that's just one of those things that's hung on that, probably the time to take.
I was going to say, Brock Stewart may be a popular name out there, but I think we could come up with something a little bit less complicated than that.
You're right. We'll see. Give it a few weeks and I'll throw one up there. It's new, so.
So you're back
in due time.
All right. I know that's low on the priority list. You got other things to worry about out there in normal Illinois.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask you, Illinois State University, what do you do during the offseason? Do you go back there? Do you have a throwing partner out there? Who's your guy that you work out with?
Actually, I've been down in Charlotte, North Carolina for the most part because my girlfriend's a nurse down there and I've been living with her. So I had to find a place to train down there, and I did. I found a great spot with a big turf area and then a state-of-the-art weight room, and then when I'm back here in Normal, I came back for Christmas and I'll be here for 2 more days. So I have been working out, but I actually haven't been working out at my school. I tried to stay out of the Redbirds' hair a little bit and get my friends today. So there's a good spot here in town, so that's what I found. And my throwing partner so far has been my brother.
Wow.
He's not gonna be with me down in Charlotte, so I actually already found someone and be down there and getting after it.
All right. So you said Charlotte. You're down there a lot. Have any of your teammates named Alex Wood or Corey Seager reached out to you to help you assimilate to Charlotte, North Carolina?
Believe it or not, they haven't, Dave. Yeah.
Shocker.
No, they got their stuff going for sure. I bet they're all over.
They don't have anything going on. Wood has nothing going on right now. Seager might. Wood has nothing going on right now. And he has
right.
Season.
I Snapchat those guys. I keep in touch a little bit, yeah.
I mean, you're in the same city. I mean, you don't mention that. Hey, I'm here. Yeah. Can we get together?
Yeah, my girlfriend knows a few people, and my brother's lived down there now for 7 or 8 years. So
okay.
I know the city a little bit, so that's made it easier. But, I'm two great spots. I love being home, and the Charlotte area has been great, too. But looking forward to getting out to L.A. For FanFest here in about a month.
Yeah, can't wait to see you out there. Brock Stewart is our guest. All right, before we move on, because I know you're getting uncomfortable with me calling out Wood and Seager, both those guys have season tickets to the Carolina Panthers. So maybe you should have hit them up earlier.
Yeah,
when
I went to the game where they hosted the Chiefs and gave up the lead in the fourth quarter, but that's the only game I've been to. But I'm definitely going to have to hit them up about that. So
you're a Bears fan, though.
I am. But
another great year, Brock. Congratulations.
Times are tough.
Are you want Jay Cutler back or not? Are you a Jay Cutler guy?
I think it's time to say goodbye, just like his Twitter handle.
The Twitter handle and Cutler gone after this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there's better options out there, and I hope the Bears pursue. So,
okay.
We'll see.
All right, Brock, before I let you go, I have to put you on the spot with one question because...
Oh, boy.
I am upset about the new collective bargaining agreement. And
I knew this was coming.
Well, I'm just saying, the picture I tweeted about you when I announced that you were coming on the show was you in a cheerleading outfit, and you are the last bastion of scantily clad rookies that players will be allowed to dress that way. Did you have any issues with the way that you were dressed, and were you uncomfortable wearing that cheerleading outfit?
You know what? I just tried to own it. I didn't have any issues. I wasn't that uncomfortable. I mean...
Were you forced to wear that? Were you forced to?
No one forced me to. I kind of just threw it on. I saw it hanging in my locker after the last game in Miami, and just decided to throw it on and head on up to New York. So, no, I didn't have any issues with it. I just tried to own it, and it was definitely fun. I mean, to see all the other guys with it on, and we created a little cheer. So
I was there for that. That was a great cheer.
I know. I know. You're right there in the front row.
Are you upset that I still have that picture?
No, no. There, I knew it would be floating around.
Okay. I will never post that on social media again after tonight. You can have it. I will text it to you. You can have that picture. I will delete it from my phone.
All right. I appreciate that. And I'm gonna hold it dearly with me and my phone.
I know.
Save
I know.
It for a long time.
Hey, when you're making new friends in Charlotte, that may be a conversation starter.
There you go. Hey, this one time I was walking around New York City in a cheerleading outfit.
Yeah. So. Hey, I'm kind of a big deal. I pitch for the Dodgers. Here's a picture of me.
That'd be funny. They wouldn't believe me.
Brock, I really enjoyed getting to know you this year, and you were really outstanding. Better than the numbers show, really. Like you said, just one or two innings that made those numbers a little crooked. You were outstanding for the Dodgers in your first taste of the big leagues, and look forward to seeing you grow as the years go by with the Dodgers, and we'll see you out there at FanFest in January, okay?
Sounds good. I appreciate all those kind words.
Thanks for coming.
I look forward to seeing you as well.
Thanks, Brock. I'll talk to you soon, and Happy New Year.
All right. You too. Sounds good.
I'm hanging up now, bye. Brock.
Okay. You first.
Bye. Brock Stewart. He's a great guy. I hope he sticks around. The Dodgers, he's a guy that can be serviceable in a lot of different ways. He may not be your number one guy. He may not be your number two guy, but he could be a back end rotation guy, and he could be a spot starter out of the bullpen as well. There's a number of different ways the Dodgers can use him, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. He's a very respectful young man, and as you could tell, kind of still feeling out his role in this major league roster, but has a good sense of humor. Obviously, since he's a Bears fan, you got to have a good sense of humor being a Bears fan. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Manuel.
Oh, DVA, man. You are making legends left and right. This Brock Stewart kid. Are you kidding me, man? Could he have handled that question about hazing any better? That was a straight-up man answer, dude. Hey, I will be pulling for this guy even more so than I already have been. Like you were saying, hey, he can be invaluable to this Dodgers rotation as a spot starter or whatever they decide to do with them because, hey, man, the kid, he brought it, man. Last year, what did he scrape out, like 3 wins, DV?
He actually had 2 wins. He was 2-2 in 5 starts and 7 games pitched. And, you know, he had that crooked number, that one inning in Milwaukee, and he had one other crooked number in a game, and that's why his ERA is what it was. But other than that, he pitched really well.
You know that. Hey, it's the big leagues. Hey, guys get the best of other guys. So, hey, my hat's off to Brock Stewart, man. Hey, I just want to say we need to get, well, I mean, as long as the package is right, let's go and get Kinsler, man. Dozier's off the market, correct?
No, Dozier's still out there.
Oh, he is? I mean, because I was hearing that he was either going to the Red Sox or the Cards.
They have interest. They have interest, but they don't. I'm not sure how far either of those teams will go. I think the Cardinals are more of a threat because the Red Sox have Pedroia. Why would they need a second baseman?
Yeah, and well, we don't want him in the National League if he's gonna go. You know, unless he's coming to the Dodgers. But man, I don't know, dude. We got to do something because. You and I both want this 2017 title to be hanging up in Chavez Ravine.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Manuel. Yeah, Ian Kinsler is a name that's still out there. The Dodgers would have to trade for him. He only has 1 more year left on his contract, and if the Dodgers were able to get him just for 1 year, I think that would be better than Brian Dozier. I think Brian Dozier's really good. But if the Dodgers cannot get the Twins to agree upon a trade, I think Kinsler is another very good option. Also, too, talking to American League evaluators, they feel like Logan Forsythe of the Tampa Bay Rays is a very good all-around second baseman, a guy that hit 20 home runs last year, is very good defensively, and he's still on the table, too. What do the Rays have to play for? And they talk about, you know, their fan base and alienating their fan base. They have no fan base. 15,000 people go there maximum per game. And trust me, it's a lot less than that when the Dodgers were there. Let's go out to one of our loyal listeners, and that's why we love her so much, and that's Isabel in Buena Park. Hi, Isabel. Happy New Year.
Hey, David. Happy New Year. First of all, the San Francisco pitcher you were talking about, can you?
Yes, Santiago Casilla.
Thank you. I can't even say it. Anyway, yeah, we can get him, get Dorsey, get on the Tampa, get anybody right now. Hey, if they want to trade me, I'll forget it. Then I even go there. But
oh, yeah, come on.
I know, but you know what? We do need to, you know, shape up the, you know, reshape the bullpen and the starting. So anyway, but yeah, and really though, I'm glad that Justin's coming back and Kenley's coming back. So I'm still hard to believe that they are both coming back. At least one day will come back. It would probably be Justin. But anyway, hey, I'll take them. I just want to. I'm so tired of the Cubs right now, David. I just want a championship right now. So anyway, I guess we'll talk Thursday and Friday. So anyway, we don't talk. Happy New Year to you and your family.
All right, Isabel. Yes, Happy New Year to you too. And I will be hosting LA today along with Leanne Tweeden and Michael Harmon on Thursday and Friday from 12 to 3. And we will have a best of Dodger talk on Thursday night. You'll hear from Corey Seager, Gary Sheffield, Brian Dozier, Rich Hill. So you want to be around for that at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Let's go out to LA. Josh on our Pound Blue line. Wait for you. Good job tapping into that during the offseason, Josh.
Yeah, hi. My question is, where does Andre Ethier, where's his standing with the team these days? Is he going to be a starting outfielder next year?
Well, do you think he should be? Is he better than Andrew Tolles? Is he better than any other option right now? I'd say he is.
I would agree with that. But are the Dodgers, could he be moved? Or do you think because he didn't play last year, he has no value?
Well, number one, Josh, he could block any trade because he has his 10-5 rights where he's played 10 years in the big leagues. And five of them have been with the same team. So he could block a trade to any team. And I don't see him really acquiescing to be traded to any other team unless it was a World Series contender. But thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And by the way, too, this very well could be Andre Ethier's final season in a Dodger uniform. The longest active tenured player on the team, Andre Ethier, may be entering his final spring training with the Dodgers this year, because if he does not reach 550 plate appearances, the clause in his contract does not kick in for the following year, and he could become a free agent. So this very well could be Ethier's final year as a Dodger, and I know he still wants to play. He still feels like he has a lot left in the tank. So hopefully he has a good year for the Dodgers, a healthy year for the Dodgers. And right now, I think going into spring training, Andre Ethier is your starting left fielder against right-handed pitching. I know everybody fell in love with Andrew Tolles, and rightfully so. He was really good when he got called up, and he came out of nowhere. But if you looked at what he did in the month of September and in the postseason, he really started to tail off there. And pitchers and opposing teams really started to figure him out, and he really didn't make the adjustments to the off-speed pitches. And he's a guy that's going to have to expect teams to make adjustments to him. There's video on him now, and we saw that last year towards the end of the season. He's a guy in the month of August was hitting 348, but in the month of September, he tailed off to about 220. So he's definitely a guy that is going to have to learn to make adjustments. And if you remember back to spring training last year, the Dodgers were talking about Andre Ethier being their leadoff hitter against right-handed pitchers, and then he broke his leg. So if you look at what Ethier did when he came back as a pinch hitter, part of the reason why Dave Roberts gave him a spot on the postseason roster was, A, his reputation for being clutch, but the quality of at-bats he was having were better than some of the guys that had been playing all season long. Now, that's a little embarrassing for some of those guys, and they should be a little embarrassed that a guy that, even though has 10 years in the big leagues, hadn't played all season long, yet was coming up with better and more quality at-bats than they were. Let's go out back to our Pound Blue line, Bob in Woodland Hills. Hi, Bob. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse.
Hello, Dave. Merry Christmas to you and your family, my friend.
Thank you, Bob. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I agree with you. Second base, right-hand side power. We have to have it, right?
I think so. And Farhan Zaidi said that as much as well, that they're looking for a right-handed bat at second base.
I agree with that completely. And as far as pitching goes, relief pitching, we really have to back up Kenley. You know, you can't go 8-1. The model for baseball is now 7, 8, 9, three guys, right? Royals, right. Cubs.
Yeah, you're looking for three guys that you could rely upon, but that's a nice formula to have. But if you look around Major League Baseball, that's not a luxury that many managers have these days.
Do you think that we have the depth with starting pitching at the back of the rotation to pick up some of these potential eight? Like you said, there's a few people out there still, and maybe they'll want to swap that the closer for a starter.
Yeah, I think the only guy the Dodgers would trade for and give up a high-level prospect would be Tony Watson of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's a guy that is a free agent at the end of this year and was very good for the Pirates after they traded Mark Melancon. I believe he got 15 saves after they traded Melancon at the All-Star break, at the trade deadline, excuse me. And he's a free agent at the end of the year. So if they're willing to trade a guy like Andrew McCutchen, and if they were willing to trade an all-star closer like Mark Melancon, you better believe they're willing to trade a guy like Tony Watson, and he would fit the Dodgers perfectly. And I wouldn't mind even seeing a 2-for-whatever trade, getting both those guys from the Pirates, Andrew McCutchen and Tony Watson. If the Dodgers got Andrew McCutchen in right field to have a reliable right-handed bat in the outfield, I think their team would look considerably better. I don't care who you have at second base, just as long as you have somebody that's reliable defensively. I would love to see Andrew McCutchen start in right field for the Dodgers. And I know that would upset a lot of Yasiel Puig fans out there, but Andrew McCutchen, at this point in his career, is 10 times better of a player than Yasiel Puig is at this point of their careers. And that's not a knock on Yasiel. Let's see what he comes in spring training. What player is he? And what player is he in spring training? What player is he throughout the season consistently? Because last year, he came into spring training with a great workout regimen going. He came with the focus and dedication and was punctual, but it tailed off as the season went on, and that's part of the reason why he was sent down. Let's see if he can sustain it. Let's see if he can maintain it. I think at this point in time, he's going to be on the Dodger opening day roster unless something happens in spring training that would change that. But at this point in time, Yasiel Puig's the Dodger right fielder against left-handed pitchers. Who's the right fielder against right-handed pitchers? I'm not sure. But my own opinion, get Andrew McCutchen in Los Angeles, and your team will be a lot better. In fact, if the Dodgers got Andrew McCutchen, I think they would be equal to or better than the Chicago Cubs. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk. Best of Dodger Talk will be Thursday night, 7 to 8 o'clock. And I'll be hosting LA Today with Leanne Tweeden and Michael Harmon on Thursday and Friday from 12 to 3. So I'll talk to you a lot later this week. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for his help. Thanks to Brock Stewart for coming on and being a great sport. In case you missed that interview or any of the show, you could podcast it at am570lasports.com. Hope you all have a healthy, happy, and safe new year. See ya!